watching Consider This. It's a special one-hour episode to discuss Budget 2021. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. And we've got Ibrahim Sani with us tonight with some tax updates. Ibrahim, what do you have for us?
Thanks, Musa. Thanks, Sharad. We have a few comments coming in from the auditors of the country. Here we have Jennifer Chang, tax partner of PwC Malaysia, sharing her thoughts on the budget.
So windfall tax is basically a levy on a specific industry where economic activity has basically expanded and probably a lot of revenue has been earned. Now, Malaysia has actually levied the windfall taxes in the past on certain sectors such as the palm oil sector. So there has been a lot of rumour about whether windfall tax will actually be announced this budget 2021 on the glove makers industry. What surprisingly was that the windfall tax was not announced at all, because to a certain extent, if you have the windfall tax, it could mean that the glove manufacturers may then consider expanding their business activities outside Malaysia instead of within Malaysia. And this will actually reduce the tax revenue collected from this industry. So for example, the glove manufacturers are expected to pay about 2.8 billion ringgit in 2020 and 4.8 billion in 2021. So if you add on the windfall tax, it will be a burden to the manufacturers. Instead, what has happened is that, and good to know, is that the glove manufacturers have actually supported the government by contributing 100 million each to combat the COVID-19. So definitely this is something that the glove manufacturers have done to support the government on top of paying the taxes that they are paying for corporate income tax as well. Well, there has been rumours that GST may make a comeback, and there has been a lot of discussions about whether Budget 2021 will reintroduce GST. Obviously, there has been no announcement of GST, and it's very unlikely for GST to come in at this point in time until the economy has actually improved. Because at the end of the day, the GST will actually broaden the tax base for collecting taxes for the government. And at this point in time, the rakyat is basically suffering because of the COVID-19 pandemic. People have lost jobs. And so to a certain extent, what the government has done is correct in putting more funds into the rakyat's pocket through the prihatin packages, as well as the ability to withdraw money from EPF and help them to tide over this difficult period. So very unlikely GST will come in for the next 1 year at least, until things have improved economically. Manufacturers are also given incentives up to December 2022 of a tax rate of between 0% to 10%, and this has also been extended to services sector. I think this is a very welcome incentive because it's trying to put Malaysia on the map and in trying to promote Malaysia as a hub for various multinationals to locate themselves in Malaysia. And hopefully this will create more jobs and activities in Malaysia. Interesting to note, of course, is that many people were wondering whether GST will be reintroduced, and that was not announced. Instead, the cigarettes industry, sin taxes, it will be considered as taxable goods in all duty-free islands, and there will be excise duty of 10% on devices for all types of electronic and non-electronic products as well. All in all, it is a budget that has actually taken into account of various sectors economically as well as the rakyat. A lot of initiatives, and hopefully this will actually support Malaysia to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic.
That was Jennifer Chang of PwC Malaysia. Back to you, Melissa and Sharad.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ibrahim. We're going to check back in with you a little bit later. But first, let's welcome to the show former Health Minister and Head of Selangor's COVID-19 Task Force, Datuk Seri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad. Now, talking about this budget, the government has allocated close to 32 billion ringgit for the Ministry of Health. Now, if you take a look at the quantum of increase, it's 4% increase from the previous budget. Was this what you were expecting? Was this the budget that you were expecting at a time our healthcare systems are being stress tested by a pandemic?
Yes, Malaysia, I must say that, you know, my initial response when looking at the numbers looks fairly good. However, when I, you know, of course, I must say that, you know, with that pneumococcal, with that vaccine all in place, I'm more than happy. But when I get to looking at the numbers and the quantum in a more detailed and granular way, I realize that it is not that much after all, because 31.94 billion, actually, 31.94 billion, if you deduct the 1.9 billion for contract workers, doctors and whatnot, you realize that you only have 30.04, which is lower than what we gave and allocated for the Ministry of Health in 2020, which is 30.6. And this, in a way, I must say, would reflect in the allocation of the various services, be that medicine, you know, perubatan, be that services of hospital-based, public health, you know, pharmacy, dental, and the entire division, you know, and bahagian, and except for food safety and quality. So I must say that I'm a bit concerned, because this year you very well know that many of these cases, whether it's elective surgeries, you know, various departments have been sort of deferred. Therefore, they will all be, all this backlog was supposedly to be, you know, handled by 2021, and suddenly you realize that every services, yeah, every you know, bargain, the division get their allocation deducted, you know. So that is not very welcoming, by the way.
Okay, I have Dr. my concern. I have my concern. Just jump in there. The Malaysian Health Coalition has called for overinvestment in public health as a whole, as well as targeting areas that have suffered systematic underinvestment over the last decades. And, you know, Sabah comes to mind. Do you agree with this general approach of overinvestment?
I must say that because we were deficient, or we were underspending for the last one decade, this is about the best time. Even if there is overspending, it's quite okay, because, you know, our base is quite low, in the sense that, you know, remember what the Auditor General underfunded, overstretched, whatever. So this is the best time. So I could see that there is the 3 billion for vaccine, that's okay. 1 billion for, you know, for anything that is to do with the COVID thing. But the non-COVID, the NCDs, you know, the entire thing of primary health care, you know, which is, and as well, of course, the hospital-based care, right. So they all need to be beefed up. And with that 31.94, and actually ending in only 30.4, and UC allocation, it's not much anyway. So that's what I'm concerned, honestly.
Okay. With every budget, there are trade-offs, right? There are competing, requests from different people. There's unemployment to deal with, the economy to deal with, and the pandemic and the healthcare systems to beef up, as you said. Now, were the trade-offs made correctly, in your opinion? I'm looking at some of the announcements that were made. In your point of view, were some of those allocations, should some of those allocations have been funneled into different areas of healthcare? And which areas would you have liked to see more allocation?
Are you saying comparing with other ministries or just healthcare alone?
I'm comparing with other ministries.
All right. I could see other ministries, like MITI had their had their allocation, you know, cut. You know, but surprisingly, I saw youth and sports somehow, you know, get quite, you know, quite, you know, remain, if not increase, you know. You see, in driving the economy, it's simply, if you drive the GDP, the growth, you have this factor called C plus I plus G. C is the consumption, I is the investment, and G is the government spending. And you need the I, the investment. You know, MIT is not getting the investment much. And also, there was this thing about every ministry for those, you know, allocation of overseas trips. And surprisingly, they are all increased. I mean, why do you need to put, you know, a lot of money there? So it's always about, you know, what is known as the, you know, in economics, you have cost melepas, you know.
Yes.
So you have this, you would want to see, it's always a competing priority that you said. So I hope, you know, overall, you will drive and turn around the economy. But a moratorium, for example, is only given to B40 and the small industries. I'm quite concerned, you know, because you need to have the the investment, you need to have the consumption. And don't look at B40. The M40 and the top 20 also need to spend, and you need them more. They would spend more. They have better capacity to spend, and they have, you know, and that would be more multiplier impact if they spend as opposed to just the B40. These are the important things you've got to look into.
Dr. Zul, in the coming days and weeks, there are going to be discussions and debates. What will you be asking the minister? Are there specific details that you want revealed to make a proper assessment of this budget?
All right. Well, specifically in health, besides, of course, the vaccine, you know, COVID vaccines, and no, I must say that there are certain things that, you know, my PECA B40 have been increased. I mean, allocation by the pneumococcal thing come very nicely, the mental health come very nicely. But more importantly, are those allocations that would have to address this COVID thing, these outbreaks and the outbursts, you know, or the escalation. So capacity to do testing, capacity to do isolation, and especially where disparity are observed, like in Sabah, you know, and their capacity both by way of their heart, by way of hospital-based personnel, ICUs and whatnot. So I would want to see details of whether we could really, you know, all those spending would be able to address COVID cases, and more importantly, are the non-COVID cases, which is the NCDs, you know. I see, you know, most of it get cut. I mean, most of it get deducted. No, they are all reduced. And in coming year, in 2021, those cases will then compete with the COVID cases, and the non-communicable diseases, the what's known as the chronic cases, yeah, of the greatest killer is still IHD, ischemic heart diseases, cardiovascular diseases, the cardiovascular accident, the CVAs like the strokes,
right,
cancer, you know, and whatnot. Mm. You know, those need to be addressed as well. And I want to see more detail as to how it would be able to put it all together.
Yes.
At managing COVID cases and as well the NCDs.
Definitely pertinent points, and we look forward to the debate on this. We too want to hear more clarity on it. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Dr. Zul.
Thank you, Melissa.
We're going to take a quick break on Consider This, but there's so much more to discuss on Budget 2021, all coming up in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.